Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. This is Sean Ross Sapp. It is November 8th, 2023. We've got your AEW Dynamite post show, and there is quite a bit to talk about today on this show. A lot of stuff happened. This felt like a little bit more of a return to AEW of old. There were some high-stakes matches, some debuts, some important story points. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. It helps out an awful lot with the algorithm. It also helps if you leave a comment, not just a live chat, but a comment below. So if you're watching after the fact, tell us your favorite AEW moment of the night, or maybe just your thoughts in general. I've got a contest going on over on my Twitter, which soon will be brought to you by BetOnline.ag. They have decided to help us out with a lot of giveaways in the near future. So if you want a chance to win a viewing of full gear for free, you can head over there or Threads to do that. But if you're here right now, get your question, get your statement in via a super chat here at youtube.com/Fightful or over on humperchats.com. You guys were so generous today on the hump, and we greatly appreciate that. We got Alex Pawlowski here. I'll be talking to you guys about Fightful Select very shortly. Alex just off air pitched me something for Select that I want to happen, but he's also over there multiple times a week. Usually like three times a week at this point, Alex is over there on Select.
Yeah, a Collision is usually noteworthy enough. There's stuff that happens that I always go live after Collision on Saturdays. Fridays is kind of a fun little deal where I review SmackDown in an hour while watching Rampage. So if anything cool happens on Rampage,
which has become a great show of late, like Rampage has been really good.
Yeah,
lately.
It really has. Like that's a tidy hour of really good wrestling.
Yeah.
And then of course Monday, Monday Night Select, reviewing Raw with Miss Kayfabe, Kate Elizabeth, and then Tuesdays reviewing NXT, which is now moving to a channel that I had to double check to see if my package contained.
Yeah, you know, the rumor was that the Coke spot may have cost NWA that deal. I can confirm. I mean, I'm the reason why Fightful isn't on CW next to the Wayans brothers
and all that stuff.
It's all me. I was trying to be like Father James Mitchell. But FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, best $54 a year in the business. We've got a whole bunch of exclusive news. Today, we had a bunch of news. Actually, really, this whole week, there's been a lot of Japanese wrestling news. News about Julia and WWE and their interest there. We had some clarification around the Saray situation. Megan Bain, a person who nobody really knew was signed by AEW, and I was like, yeah, she's been signed for months. Well, AEW clarified that to me when they did confirm they sent her to Stardom. She's been signed for like a year plus. She's been signed for a very, very long time. But a name popped up today on AEW that we had reported 2-3 months ago was headed there in Mariah May. But today we spoke to Rocky Romero, and I flat out said, hey, I know you've got a good relationship with Tony Khan. What about CM Punk heading to New Japan? He opened up about that. Mercedes, a possible super show, rebuilding bridges. All that's on FightfulSelect.com right now. We had news on the MLW releases. We have a major story on a lot of the details behind NXT moving to the CW. We have an exclusive interview with Moe's from Steven Jensen. Just a ton of stuff over at FightfulSelect.com. We had reported Monday night that Tegan Nox was coming back. Again, we would greatly appreciate it if you guys subscribed. I want to go ahead and get that plug out of the way for you guys. But I don't promote Tier 2 a lot, but I'm going to right now. Tier 2 is our $10 tier. It gets you all of our interviews, early access, as well as our features early access. So Scott Edwards has an interview with Takeshita. That's going to be up early over there. We've got Molly Bell with a triple feature this week. And I've got interviews with Hikaleo, Rocky Romero, and a lot more. Check it out, guys. FightfulSelect.com. It's how we can be here. But get your questions, get your statements in. And also, if you want more of that, I do a Q&A over at Fightful Select every single week. And the week of Survivor Series, I'm going to be doing a CM Punk FAQ. That way, after Survivor Series comes and goes, Fightful Select subscribers will be able to point to certain things and say, no, this is what actually got reported. It's gonna be a night, let me just say. Guys, anyway, AEW Dynamite. I want to thank our moderator Luis for being here with us and helping us out. Matthew Hook says, so much happening, love the stories right now. Yeah, it seemed like they were leaning in an awful lot into story tonight, but with some good in-ring action. Patrick Baruga says, if Punk goes to New Japan, the Forbidden Door would be fun. I don't think he would be working that show. I think
probably not.
Yeah, but you know what? Wrestle Kingdom with FTR.
Sure.
And against three other guys, I could see that happening as well. Darren Walker says, Sean, I was watching Champions League football here in the UK, so I missed the hump. Do you think more MLW stars might ask for their release, like a Fatu or Selena? No, Selena just came back. Selena just came back to the company, so I wouldn't expect that. Jacob Fatu, no, because WWE had the opportunity and they passed on him, I believe, because of some stuff in his past. But I wouldn't expect that. The Ares and Aramis thing, that was a long time ago, and they had been granted their releases. It just wasn't relayed to them. Andrew H. says, still don't get why JR called Taker Booger Red. I think it's because in actuality, his hair was red like a bloody booger.
Yeah.
I think that's why.
Yeah.
So we kicked off the show with an MJF interview. He was interrupted by Daniel Garcia, and he cut off Daniel Garcia, and he's like, listen, cut all the shit. He's like, the reason why I said yes to this is because I see a lot of myself in you. Mm-hmm. I believe in you. He's like, and I want the pro wrestler, not the sports entertainer, which is, you know, kind of wild coming from MJF, right?
Yeah, except we recognize that what he does as a full-on, like, he puts the professional wrestling in professional wrestling as opposed to grappling. He's great in the ring, but all this other stuff that he does, the character work and all that, that's very much, you know, more sports entertainment-ish than straight up what people would call professional wrestling. But I did love him, like, doing the, are you going to be the sports entertainer right to Daddy Magic's face or the pro wrestler? And then Garcia's response, tonight you get the pro wrestler. I thought this was an excellent little start to that. Fantastic.
I'm glad that they did this. I mean, one, Daniel Garcia should be used an awful lot more.
Yeah.
The story that I have publicly pitched that I think would work great for him is basically Maven Survivor Series 2004. And I can't wait until Maven does a video on this. because he's got one of the best YouTube channels on the planet right now. He's incredible. But the story was that a group of baby faces on Raw, which somehow included Maven with a bunch of main eventers, took on Evolution. And the rule was if the baby faces won, they got to run Raw for a week. And the same thing for the heels. Well, naturally, everybody picked a world title match for themselves the night they ran Raw. Triple H went to Maven and he's like, listen, you can't beat me. He's like, Evolution's not going to let you beat me, but you couldn't beat me anyway. However, if you just make my night a whole lot easier by not doing this, you can join Evolution. And we sure as hell are going to get to a place where one day you can beat me. You can be a world champion. Look at what we did with Randy Orton. And Maven said, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And then he lost and he flipped out and he blamed everybody else. And I thought it could have been the start of a really good heel run, but they abandoned it because, you know, that era wasn't exactly creatively satisfying all the way around. I think that should be Daniel Garcia realizing he could have been a part of the BCC. And he passed it up. He didn't do it.
Yeah.
And now he's got to live with that regret.
Yeah.
And he didn't get to that level, that quite that level, even though he showed that he belonged in this match.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those things where I felt like this match could have been a few more minutes and really kicked it into high gear. But also, it'd be great to see like Jon Moxley be like, you should have taken us up on our offer. Maybe you would have won that match. Maybe it would have been a closer match. Like something like that to just really turn the knife into Daniel Garcia. But he's always belonged in this match, showed it, and so did the promo.
Yeah, no, he's a brilliant wrestler. I mean, like the angle being that MJF was working over the arm, but he still hit a pile driver with one arm. And then the salt of the earth, the Fujiwara armbar sealed it. I think that's a good, it was a really good match. Daniel Garcia, did you see the thing that, MJF tweeted out, which all the people who were younger than a certain age backstage all standing together?
Yes. And it was like the double XL. Yeah. Or the triple XL thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That was, there's a lot of really amazing talent just sitting there waiting to like take the world by storm. That's what I love to see. I'm a big fan of giving the young people as many opportunities, because that's how they're going to get great. I thought this was an excellent opportunity to do that, and they hit it out of the park.
I had somebody reach out and say, do you remember who Evolution's partner was at Survivor Series 04? Because Orton was on the other side, if you remember. Do you remember who Evolution had team with them?
I did not.
Gene Snitsky.
Oh, of course. Was it his fault?
No, it was Triple H, Batista, Edge, and Snitsky, and Flair was just ringside.
Of course.
Oh my God. I looked at this match and I was like, okay, this is a good match. First off, to put on first for the show with the flow of how things went. Because also there is that little thing in your mind where you're like, damn, is MJF about to give him 60? Like, because that's something that MJF would do on a whim, right?
Could have given him 35, and like I would not have complained. You know what I mean? Like it would have been a really cool little thing. Like when they say it's a 60-minute time limit, like that's why it's got to go on first. To me, that's enough. When you hear him say it's a 60-minute time limit, then it's got to go on first, because you never know what could happen. It's got to go on first. So I like that. That's the reason why the world title match is curtain jerking, because it's got a 60-minute time limit.
What did you think about the Roderick Strong and Adam Cole integration into this? They're still getting Adam Cole on TV here and there. And, you know, Roderick Strong's doing his thing without really doing a lot of wrestling.
Now, well, that was the point, right? Like, I'm gonna make everybody remember what I can actually do in the ring, which is welcomed by me, surely, because Roderick Strong is a wrestling legend.
Yeah.
Because, like MJF says, you were a wrestling legend. Now you're a joke. And the idea, he's supposed to be a joke. Like, that's the idea of these segments, is supposed to make him into a joke on purpose. But there is a growing segment online that views Roddy Strong as now a joke because of this comedy crap. And I like that they're playing into both sides. So I'm really intrigued to see where we get with Roderick Strong proving that he's not a joke, what that means, where that comes from. That could be great. But also, we'll talk more about this. I'm not in the mood to see MJF successfully defend the ROH titles in another handicap match. So I'm hoping at some point between now and Full Gear, he acquiesces and finds some partner, even if it's not going to be the people who are offering right now.
So MJF obviously still has his hands in an awful lot of things, which I think is pretty good. He's carrying a lot of the weight on this show right now.
Yeah.
Zach says it would be great if they could merge into WWAE, World Wrestling All Elite. Well, they're not going to do that.
No.
I mean, they would just call it World Wrestling Elite. That's what they would call it.
They'd probably do that.
It would just still be WWE.
Mm-hmm. Or Elite World Wrestling. Ew.
Oh, God. Triple H and HBK present the WWE team run TV. TK runs pay-per-views. Perfect. This is something I was talking to Rocky Romero about. Like, a lot of people act like it's impossible to do like some big super show outside of WWE. Like, how could they all possibly get along? This Friday on New Japan Lone Star Shootout, I'll have an interview with Rocky Romero tomorrow and Hikaleo Friday. But on this show, just Friday, that nobody's talking about, Mayu Iwatani of Stardom, Eddie Kingston of ROH, you've got a bunch of New Japan stars, you've got Moxley, Beretta of AEW, you've got a bunch of CMLL stars, you got Joey Janela out of GCW. Like, it's already, and also, by the way, Speedball Mike Bailey from TNA. It's literally only missing like a Jacob Fatu from it already being all of that, just without the logos slapped on there. That can happen, and I think that'll be big. I don't see WWE in AEW doing business, but I do think it was interesting that on the TKO investor call, Ari Emanuel mentioned, well, you know, we were in favor and okay with ESPN pursuing the PFL deal, which is a top competitor for UFC. So that could play into some of the AEW, WWE, WBD stuff as well.
Yeah.
Jordan Scott said tonight felt like a great return to form for AEW. It did. It was a fun show. Part of that fun, I did not have the Outrunners pegged for a part of Sting's retirement tour, but I like the Outrunners an awful lot. I think they're really fun. They got their asses kicked.
Of course. But
that's what they're there for. And I mean, they weren't going to sit there and beat down on Sting, and that's okay. No. And I'm sure the Outrunners were stoked to have this opportunity.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, just the idea of where they were a couple of years ago to be like, no, we're going to wrestle Sting on national television during his final run in only his second match ever in Portland, Oregon. That's kind of a cool thing. That's great. Good for them. And I like this Sting farewell tour thing they're going to do, where he's going to go around and Shivani, everywhere he wrestles, tell me the last time he wrestled here, how many times he wrestled, his first match he wrestled here. I want the whole history of Sting as a wrestler wherever we go. I think that would be really cool.
Hikaru Shida and Tony Storm did an interview with Tony Schiavone where Tony blamed Hikaru for her breakdown in a lot of ways, because Hikaru beating Tony is what led to this downward spiral. Now, I know they went a roundabout way to sort of get here, but that was the plan all along, was for this to eventually unfold. I just think that, you know, they got to All In. They're like, we got Queen, Soraya's family's here. Mm-hmm. They had an honest to God, financially successful movie about this.
Let's
do it. Why not?
Yeah.
So I think in a roundabout way, it ended up coming back and it ended up working. And Sheeta's just like, I'm just going to beat you like I always do anyway. So who the hell cares? Yeah. Have you guys seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt, staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looked more jacked than ever. and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix it with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike the other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade, has hundreds of five-star reviews. I love the taste of this. I love the way that I feel after drinking it. I've never felt better. My digestion is smoother, body looks leaner, I have energy all day. I just feel younger. And the flavor is so much better than other green drinks. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful for up to 44% off your regular price order. Every purchase is packed with a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, boost of energy, and overall a healthier body, go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I thought this was I love doing the whole thing in black and white. It was great because when you go to her area, everything else changes along with it. But her thing being like, I was supposed to carry that title into Wembley. It was supposed to be me, and then I was like, oh no, fine, I'll get it back. It's fine, I'll get it back. But then I didn't, because then you got it back, and so like that kind of a thing was excellent. I love Toni Storm insisting on pronouncing it Hikaru. I think that's great as well. This is all really great stuff. And I think that the implication is, if she is unsuccessful in getting the title back, she will spiral further out of control, and that's even better. So this could be a lot. This is one of those things that I always say when somebody is the champion and then loses the title, what do you have planned for them? Because it should be like a slide down into the mid card kind of a thing. Figure out what you can do with them. What is losing the title do to that champion? And this is a textbook example of how to do that. Like, Toni Storm feels more important, more vital to AEW now as not the champion than she did when she was the champion. And this is a great, great job by not only Toni Storm, but everybody in AEW doing this. It's fantastic.
Yeah, like I think that she's killing it with this role. I think that she's done the thing that I constantly mention. She's able to get herself over in a very short period of time. And it looks like AEW's newest signing, Mariah May, Fightful Select, reported back in August she was headed to AEW. Yeah. It looks like she is going to be able to accomplish that as well. Yeah. Because, quite frankly, what it looks like is something we had pitched on the air here, almost like an understudy of Toni Storm, like a fan of Toni Storm. Not quite Mickie James, Trish Stratus levels.
Not yet.
But
not yet.
An adoring fan, to the point to where she kissed RJ City for simply, mm-hmm. you know, being within proximity, for knowing a guy.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yes. I can introduce you. And then she kisses him. Now, this is what I wouldn't like it if she was already Mickie James levels on the first night we met her. But there's an opportunity for her to like fully single white female this thing. You know what I mean? I don't know if that's what they're going to go, But like slowly getting to that point might be interesting. I don't know where they're going with this, but I love it. Is big. This is the champion or not. Toni Storm is, I think, arguably the hottest female act in the company. And introducing Mariah May into that can only do good things, get her more exposure, get people more interested in her. So that could be a lot of fun.
Chi-Town Spurs says people say it's Trish and Mickey, but it's actually the 1950s classic All About Eve. I am not going to pretend to have any idea what that is, but Alex, I assure you do.
I mean, it's been a long time, but it's a very famous
actress. Yeah, 70 years.
Well, there you go. Since I've seen it is what I meant. But Betty Davis, and I can't remember the other woman, but very
RJ famous. RJ City will know.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. Betty Davis, I believe, is the older actress, and there's a young actress that comes in and tries to learn from her, and then the older actress gets incredibly jealous of all the attention that she's getting from all the men around.
RJ City and ask who was in All About Eve, and he will tell me. That's the extent of the scoops that he will give me. Yep.
There you
go. Perfect. Select people worth the $5 subscribe. Dare I say, yes, it is worth it. We've got, what else do we, where's the Mariah May segment? There we go. Tim says, happy to see Mariah May in AEW. Think she joins Toni Storm. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I do. Darren says, great to see Mariah May. Hope we get her with Toni. That is definitely where they're heading. Mariah May acted like Mickey, said Tony P. Tony and Mariah doing the 1920s version of the Trish Mickey story. I think the version that Alex mentioned, All About Eve, is probably sounds better. Brent Lockman says, bring on crazy understudy Mariah May. I am all for it.
There.
And you know, we didn't have the understudy, but we had the stunt double with Ms. Dow, which was one of the best things that Ms. ever did and one of the best things that Sandow did. And I've always said that, like, you can take some stories that did work with men and you just do a gender switch on those and a whole lot of different elements and promo styles come up. I am not giving you information about a film that won Best Picture. This isn't a deep cut. Do you know how many illiterate dumbasses that I have quote tweet me saying, he got cooked in GL. I just got cooked in GL.
You got cooked. I watched it, but I don't remember.
Damn.
It's been 30.
Well, now I ain't ever watching that shit. LaRon Ford says, thoughts on how they chose to debut Mariah May on Dynamite? Is there a bigger debut happening at Full Gear that made them debut May early? No, I mean, she is not brought in and expected to be known by their broader audience. Like, if you do not exist in stardom fandom or online, you probably don't know who Mariah May is. And you're going to know who she is.
Yes.
Because she's phenomenal. She's really, really good.
Yeah.
Tom LaValle says, shout out to Luis. I know he's sour, but he's the best. And Luis says he is sour about Samoa Joe relinquishing, which we will talk about.
Yeah.
Terry says, why Alicia stopped announcing hometowns on NXT? You know, I don't know. It's something she was told to do, though.
Right. Yeah. So she made the choice.
But she is. Not like she's going rogue every week.
Nope.
Albuquerque can go to hell. Crispy Chris says, 2 weeks now without Ric Flair. Was that always the plan or due to the outrage? I don't know that was always the plan, but he was not there tonight for Sting's match that was very clearly on his retirement road.
Yeah.
And listen, if there are people on the roster that I think could take like a punch from Ric Flair, it's probably the Outrunners. You know what I mean? Like,
yep. Yeah.
They would have probably crapped their pants over doing that too. Why wouldn't they? They would have loved to have sold for Ric Flair, I bet.
Sure. But don't need to see any Ric Flair. So I'm happy he wasn't there.
Jelly Canuck says, watching the show, wanted to say you guys are awesome. Keep up the great work on Fightful. Hopefully with UFC moving to Sportsnet in Canada, TSN will showcase AEW more. I would say that is probably a very, very good opportunity there.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for the kind words. We greatly appreciate it. We have the Don Callis Sega promo. Now, we had reported this on Fightful Select quite a while ago that this was going to be the case, Sega sponsoring this street fight. I saw some people like aggregated our stories that were like, Sega sponsors Chris Jericho match. Well, let me tell you, I don't believe that Chris Jericho has some strong relationship with Sega. This is a Kenny Omega situation.
Right.
This was something that I think was probably added late, but is in line with the Golden Jets interview with the Young Bucks. And the Young Bucks approached Kenny and Jericho, and we set up a match for Full Gear.
Yep.
Where the Bucks are like, fine. You want to hang out with him all the time after all he did to us? Well, let's face each other at Full Gear. And Jericho, why, as he should, I was like, oh, why don't you put that title shot on the line then?
Yeah.
And the Bucks were like, and the Bucks wisely were like, well, why would we do that for no reason? How about this? Y'all don't ever team together again if we win.
Right.
So I thought this made sense from both sides. And Omega's thing was like, well, I don't want to fight you, but you're sitting here saying that I can't beat you. And I know that I can beat you.
Right.
So now it's a point of pride for me.
Yep.
And he cared about that more than the tag title shot, really.
Yep. It was cool watching the Bucks just completely run down Jericho while not saying a single lie in any syllable that they uttered. That was great. I predictably hate this because of the stipulation basically means the Bucks are losing and could easily mean Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega are going to become the new AEW tag champs. Like, I love Kenny and the Bucks. This is my least looked forward to match on the Full Gear card. I don't care what they add to it. I'm sorry. I'm done with Jericho, and I have been for a very long time. It's only getting worse and worse and worse. So the little promo that they did with Don Callis and Takeshita walking around Tokyo was really cool and made it seem very important. And then you remember that the big secret weapon that they added for this big 4-on-4 thing on Wednesday is the Big Show, who can't move. And it's just, I mean, I don't know, man. Some of these things, some of what AEW is doing as a whole is like, is great and compelling. And some of it is I think just for me is wonderful. And some of it for me ain't it. And this thing has never been for me.
This is not my first, second, third, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, 10th choice, but I think the match will be really, really good. Now, the Bucks were, it was supposed to be FTR Bucks 3 for the title at one point. Yeah, I don't know what's going for.
I don't know. Like, I thought we were going to get the Bucks versus Big Bill and Ricky, which I would have loved.
That would
have
been great.
I would have loved that match, and I guess we're not getting that. So,
Jordan Scott
I guess
says,
we might. But
Chi-Town Spurs says, Sami and Kevin will win, won't they? Tension in the bloodline. Bucks having friendship drama. Tried and true. Very entertaining for the most part. Yeah, I mean, I am excited for the Bucks to sort of splinter off of the Elite and do their own thing, because what I see happening on the horizon for the Bucks is them getting back to obnoxious roots. And I think they are at their best and their most over when they are at their most obnoxious. And what I mean by that is they do cater a lot of what they do to an internet audience, but it reflects publicly in a way that makes sense on the screen. So they take criticism from their detractors and they magnify it. And they like, too many super kicks. We're going to do a super kick counter and we're going to do 100 of them. I think that could be the case here, because Kenny Omega dropped the "you are children" line. I mean, I'm seeing more CM Punk references on AEW than I am WWE, for those that are asking.
That's true.
And he very clearly dropped that line in reference to "I work with children" type of thing. Jordan Scott said, the Young Bucks Omega Jericho promo got me thinking. Could see the Bucks winning at Full Gear, but also leave Omega and join Cole if he turns out to be the devil. We get single star Omega heel Young Bucks back at the same time. I don't think that's on the horizon for the Bucks, but yeah. I think something different is on the horizon for the Bucks. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm seeing by these context clues within this story is that the Bucks are almost having a self-fulfilling prophecy here.
Right.
They see one hint of Kenny Omega looking the other direction and they're like, well, might as well chop the entire arm off just right. because I, you know, I got a little injury in my shoulder type of thing.
Yeah.
What else do we got next? Swerve Strickland defeated Penta.
Jeez.
We still got Phoenix who is not, he's not, you know, eligible to be here, but you know what? No matter where Phoenix is, he can watch all of his favorite shows thanks to Nord. There is no product that we have promoted more on Fightful that I use while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. You guys have probably seen me anchored to my desk an awful lot for quite a while, and I've always got NordVPN on all my devices. That's because that's what NordVPN.com/Fightful allows. You get the fastest VPN in the world on all your devices, on all your operating systems. It is so beneficial to have that versatility. Here at home, I put it on my router just in case, and I put it on my phone, laptop, desktop, PC, and smart TV. That allows you to get all the benefits. The online threat protection, the ability to change your virtual location with just one click, the ability to use that NordPass password manager, the file encryption tool, all that good stuff on everything. Also, you can subscribe to all those overseas services I'm telling you all about, all with 24/7 tech support and a 30-day money-back guarantee on top of an already amazing deal. Protect yourself on all your devices with NordVPN.com/Fightful. This match humped.
God, it's so great. It was Swerve, so great.
Penta, I'll never get tired of seeing the Penta driver. Good God Almighty, this match.
Do we lose me or we lose Sean? Do we lose me or do we lose Sean?
I'm here.
Okay, good. I was like, was that me? Did I drop or?
No, I think it's something from the ad transitions.
That might be it.
There you go. This match.
Humped.
Oh my God. It's so like Swerve and Penta. I love that when they set this up, you had Swerve saying to Penta, listen, you and I both spent time under the mask. Like, I just going back to like to Lucha Underground, knowing they're in the locker room together. And like, I don't remember if they had a match against each other. There wasn't like a major feud, I don't think, between them ever there. But like, knowing that that was in their past, this was so great. They beat the crap out of each other. So
that finish
really
looked so brutal.
That innovative stuff through the entire match, and then finally Penta doing his arm breaker and Swerve then doing his, and the way Swerve hides the clap to get that snap sound that makes you feel like you just heard a man's tendons pop, like, yes. And the way that Penta sold it and that big final stomp, that like is great. As Swerve is awesome. He is rocketed to the very top of the gotta get a title on him division of this promotion. And I'm very excited after this attack by Hangman to see Hangman versus Swerve 2, because I'm 100% sure there's going to be Hangman versus Swerve 3. And that's also going to be great.
Oh man, we got so that I love that finish. Love the big stomp. It and with Penta taking it, like he guy literally has no fear. He's just like, go ahead.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
I knock the shit out of people all the time. I could take it. type Do of it. Thing.
Yeah.
I also, and by the way, Orion Benn says Swerve villain of the year, dark horse. Now I'm probably not even a dark horse. Like he's just, he's one of the best villains of the year. This follow-up that we saw at a Hangman beating his ass with the chair and putting him through a table off the apron. This is how I think it should have happened in the six-man tag match. Like we shouldn't have seen Hangman chase to the back. No, we should have seen it in front of us.
Right.
Like, we should have seen that, like, the first week after.
Sure.
I think that would have worked. But this is a response worthy of my home was broken into.
Yes. Yes. You're a dead man, just over and over again. You're a dead man while being dragged away from the unconscious corpse of Swerve is great. This is excellent. And their match at Full Gear is going to be amazing. And I feel like it's obviously, to me, it feels pretty obvious what's going to wind up 1-1 after those two matches. And then the third rubber match maybe will happen at, you know, what, a World's End.
I even look a lot at of fun. Well, I mean, if they either this, I feel like this one, I want to say in the ring, it doesn't need a stipulation, but the story, no, I think, might need a stipulation.
Right, require one, yeah.
Yeah, and if not here, then at World's End. But, ooh, I am excited for this. That show is really, really taking shape. Miguel says, can Don Callis' family interfere in the tag match to cause a DQ so no one wins? Either stipulation, Bucks join Omega and Jericho at some point. I wouldn't expect to see that at all. And also, AEW does not like to do that on pay-per-view as well. They don't like to do a finish like that. But also, if it's a DQ, somebody wins and somebody loses.
Yeah.
Well, the next match was very good. But considering what happened after, I would have just switched the result.
Yeah.
In capacity or done something to cause it.
Yep.
Samoa Joe defeated Keith Lee and afterward vacates the belt. Now, Meat Normus says, shout out to Portland for acknowledging Meat. Meat Normus says, Joe and Keith slapped all the sirloin beef, 4 out of 5 pork chops. Am I the only one who thought Danhausen was going to run in and claim the title? Well, that would have been funny, but also would have took some of the gravity away from the situation.
Yeah.
Big L says, Meat Normus must have cooked during that TV title match because that match was some nice beef. Could watch Joe go a few times with Keith Lee, maybe throw Ishii and Shane Taylor in sometime, get us a meat fest. Joe threw me vacating, but I get why he did it. So we're going to talk a lot about that after the match. I just want to say this. Ishii will shock you how small he is next to a lot of these guys. He is a small guy that wrestles like he is 6'1", 300.
Yeah.
This match was just as good as I thought it would be on AEW Dynamite TV. Right. I thought it was good. Yeah. You needed something that was a little more high-flying, like Swerve and Penta. Then you get something with stakes like we had we had in the opening match. Then something that was literal stakes, just meat slapping right here.
Yeah. This was great. This was an excellent showcase for Samoa Joe and also Keith Lee. Keith Lee having the leg worked over a few times by Samoa Joe, and basically being the thing coming down to he couldn't support Joe's weight on his shoulders because of the knee, which led to the slip behind and the coquina clutch. It was a really great match. Some amazing meat slapping, fantastic stuff. And the follow-up after the match just infuriates me as somebody who cares what titles mean. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me at all.
Here's how I would have done it. Well, first off, let me read the super chats first. Ryan Dubs said, Samoa Joe said, F this belt, it ain't shit. Get ROH off AEW TV. And I got to agree with Joe here. Whatever. You know, I don't disagree with you. You can have whatever opinion you want, but it was more about Joe being on TV than anything. Tony says, I like the idea of Joe vacating the title. Keith seemed like his equal. And if you beat all your challengers in equal, why not give it up? So maybe his words are lost on me, but if he would have said, if that guy can't beat me, then nobody's going to beat me. I'm vacating this title.
Sure.
That would have been maybe one thing.
Would have been better than what he did say. But
We got a chat saying, I get wanting to give Keith the belt, but I'd rather see the belt on ROH and Keith continue on AEW with his feud with Shane. Shane fits in right in on ROH TV.
Right.
And what I would have done is have a meat slapping extravaganza.
Sure.
Like a four way. And then Joe doesn't have to get pinned there.
No.
And you give Keith Lee a big win or Shane Taylor a big win or somebody like that. And then maybe, you know, we see Samoa Joe go into an office or something else. Then he comes back out and he's livid. He's livid about losing his title, not getting pinned in a situation in which he wasn't prepared for.
Yep.
And he's like, you know what? I'm not going to dwell on that. Max, I haven't forgot about you. I'm coming for you.
Right.
That to me, that would have been better. Orion Ben says, I heard y'all want the ROH TV title back on ROH TV. Bet. Then proceeded to pull out the Simpsons monkey paw on everyone.
Yeah.
He'll move TK. Alex, share your thoughts. I know I just talked a lot.
There's my Simpsons monkey paw right here.
Oh no.
I actually have one. I use it every time on Sour Graps when something happens like that.
I think it's tax deductible.
Yep. Oh, that's nice. Cool. I can find it, see if I can find that receipt. There's nothing that says, I mean, we see it, honestly, we have the top champion's actually a double champ in ROH and AEW. There's nothing that says you can't be the ROH TV champion while going after the AEW championship. You already did it, for God's sake. At Grand Slam, you were the ROH TV champion and went after the AEW championship. There's nothing that says you have to vacate it or... If you do become the AEW world champ, you go, great, I don't need this anymore. I'm going to focus on defending this thing. Like, this is a championship that you held and defended for 575 days or whatever the number is. And now you're like, nah, I don't want it anymore. Like, that devalues the championship, and it devalues, I would argue, and I may be the only person who feels this way, it devalues anybody who then becomes the champion and actually wants the title. Because Samoa Joe says, I'm too good for this piece of crap. But you, whoever you are in ROH, you can have it. You can have it. I don't want it, but you can play with it if you want. That makes everybody look bad. It makes ROH as a whole company not look less than. I know they are, but you shouldn't present them as such. Like, it doesn't feel like there's no reason for him to do this. None. Like, it's a completely unforced thing. He doesn't have to do that. It doesn't make sense that you would write him to do that. I think it devalues the title so much. It devalues his run. As a guy who like kept the title and defended it over and over and over again, and then it's like, nah, I don't want it. I don't know why you don't want it anymore. What, wouldn't you want to be a two-belt champion? You were the TNT champion and the ROH TV title champion. Wouldn't you want to like hold? Wouldn't Samoa Joe want all the gold as opposed to now this gold's bad, but I want this gold instead? I don't know, man. I don't know.
I'm completely with you. I'm completely with you. I don't think that needed to happen, but I call me crazy. I think Samoa Joe's winning the AEW title. Winning the AEW
title. Here's the deal. If he doesn't after this, that's a huge misstep.
Yeah.
Cause if he has the match versus MJF and loses, at least he is then still ROH TV champion. The thing about it is that a guy, Samoa Joe, who's a legend in his own right, no matter what, but with this legendary ROH TV title run, think about all the people who've held it in the past. It's a laundry list of first ballot Hall of Famers, a lot of them. And then he's held it for this long. The guy who actually beats him, what a rub you give to that guy. But that's not the same kind of rub if you win a tournament or a battle royal or a ladder match for it. It's sure. Not. The best thing you could do for the next guy to be ROH TV champion is to have that guy beat Samoa Joe for it.
You don't want to misstep with your razors when you're taking care of those sensitive areas. And Manscaped, make sure you don't. Manscaped.com. Use that code FIGHTFUL. Save 20%. We told you about all the packages 4.0. Forget all those. We got the 5.0 now, the new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, two interchangeable skin-safe blade heads. It's got the trimmer blade and the foil blade. It's waterproof. It's got a fixed-length comb. It's got adjustable combs. It comes with the power adapter, USB-C charging cable. So if you're tired of your old trimmer and finding that one charger, well, don't worry. It's got the USB-C charging cable. It's also wireless charging compatible. It has up to a 60-minute runtime. So listen, if you're extra bushy down there, Manscaped's got you covered. Dual LED spotlight, constant RPM, tri-level LED, low battery. Oh my, I'm so excited, I'm stuttering. A low battery indicator, a travel lock, but that's not it. They got everything in the bathroom. The all-in-one grooming kits, groin grooming kits. They even got Beard Hedger Pro kits with beard balms, beard brushes, scissors, combs. They've got electric nose hair trimmers. They've got the handyman compact face shaver for when you're on the road. They've even got cologne, boxers, body shower kits for body wash, for body buffers, shampoo, all that good stuff. Everything you need to keep yourself smelling good, looking good in the bathroom, thanks to Manscaped and that code Fightful. You get 20% off, my friends. How could you possibly miss it? Manscaped.com, code Fightful. Look, Julie Cutler loves it. Look, she loves it.
She does.
My God.
By that, I mean I do.
Yes. Jordan says, feels like Joe dropped it in a boxer moves class. I guess. I mean, that is a much better way of putting it.
I guess.
But considering we have seen so many people hold multiple titles, including, by the way, the guy he is now going after right now is holding an ROH title.
Right.
I ain't buying it. Chris says, nobody cares about ROH TV. Check out our ROH TV review every Thursday here on Fightful. Tom LaValle says, pitch Samoa Joe as the last ROH TV champ. Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
I mean, if they're not on TV anymore.
They're not on TV. I would be completely fine with eliminating that title.
Yeah. You want to invent a brand new belt that somebody can be the first ever champion of?
Okay. Just don't.
I mean, that's fine as well.
R. Red says, do you think this ROH title is being vacated? And Tony might answer to the critics saying AEW has one too many titles and will start phasing them out. So, okay, I'm going to look at the AEW titles right now. Okay, for one, I don't think ROH and AEW need six-man tag titles.
No.
I would love, and this is what I had said before, I would love it if that and women's tag team titles were not like the AEW women's tag titles. I wish he would create world women's tag titles.
Right.
And then you could see them in ROH. You could see them on AEW. If New Japan needs a match and you want to send somebody over there or to Stardom, sure. I know that AEW sends people to Stardom every so often, as we reported this week. But you have the world six-man tag titles, the world women's tag team titles. I think that would go a lot better as I'm looking. The FTW championship just never gets defended. At this point, I love the TNT and the International Championship. I'm okay with those. On the ROH side of things, one of the spirits of ROH is sort of the pure title. So, and you're not getting rid of the world title. You're not getting rid of their women's title. And I like them having their women's title as well.
Yeah.
If it was the TV title, you know what? I'm okay with it not being there, but I think they're just going to put it on somebody else.
They're going to put it on somebody else. Yeah.
Yeah. Where let me get caught up here. Your favorite Beaufriend says, so Joe pulled an option C with the TV title. Alex.
Yeah.
You mentioned this off the air. And then I said, why the hell didn't they just call that option X with the X Division title?
They should have, because I don't know what option A and option B are. And if what is option C. So
but the Orange Cassidy promo, a very, very good one where he talked about how he does not feel like the international champion until he beats John Moxley.
Right.
Because John Moxley beat him for the international title. He made an awful lot of sense of this match and this story and why he's such a dick to John Moxley all the time.
Yeah, no, I thought that was excellent because the does you think I'm overlooking you? Do you think I don't think about the only thing that I can think of is beating you after you left me in a puddle of my own blood? Like this, and also like this is it's great to have this title back, but it doesn't feel the same because I didn't beat you for it. I didn't beat you, the guy who beat me for it. It's not done yet. I need to do this. I thought that was excellent. And I also just love Hook just standing there, not saying anything behind him with his smoothie, I guess is what that was he was holding. It was great.
Kylie says, everyone at Fightful are lovely, lovely humans. Well, thank you, Kylie. We appreciate that. Kylie. Rovan says, Swerve and Hangman could be Dusty Flair level rivals, in my opinion. I think that they will. This rivalry will sort of go on for quite a while, on and off.
I hope so. It'd be great.
Guns defeated the Bollywood boys. I love seeing the Bollywood boys there. Says this felt like Dynamite. Even the Gun promo didn't overstay its welcome. How many women did we see tonight? Could TK be starting to listen about the women? Well, not quite two matches yet.
Nope.
We saw more segments, but the Guns crushed the Bollywood boys.
Yeah,
I thought this was good. It's the setup.
Yeah.
Set up what they're doing.
Right.
And they I think they are very underrated for what they do. And they're growing on me every single week.
I mean, it's a stroke of genius to put them with Juice and Jay White. They feel more important being with them. They do have one of the coolest entrances. The way they shoot that, it's great every time. They made them look great. Which is why if MJF beats him by himself, I never like the 2-on-1, the guy fighting. I never like it. It just always feels artificial to me, especially if he's got that match later with Jay White. So I hope that what they figured out something to do instead.
If it's like, all due respect to these two teams, but within the context of the show, if it's against like the Outrunners or the Bollywood boys, mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind it, but
right.
Yeah, I agree with what you said. BCC and Wardlow promos. We also saw Mark Briscoe backstage and Jay White did an interview. So we got some promo time on this show for a lot of talent where they're kind of keeping them on the screen, even if they don't have something major or a defined direction where you say this is their next match. Obviously with Mark Briscoe and Jay White, yes.
Right.
BCC sometimes and Wardlow maybe not so much, but anything in these stick out to you?
I love the Wardlow pre-tape. The video package was great. Like
yeah.
Like the for the longest time when I was here, I was under this man's thumb. And I never felt like I was able to break away from that, even when I was the champion. I'm going to, when you least expect it, I'm going to destroy everything that you care about, kind of a thing. The thing of it is that we accept, so many people just blindly accept babyface MJF. But that dude ruined a lot of lives when he was a heel. And Wardlow being like, everybody else can love you. I hate you. And I'm bigger than everybody else, so I'm going to destroy you is great. I also love the BCC thing, Moxley being like, hey, Orange, that's cool. Because I kind of didn't care that it was you. I just needed my title back. But now, after what you said about me, now I'm going to break you in half. And you bring your little boy, Hook. I love Moxley being like, hey, Hook, you stepped into the wrong. You're back in the wrong horse here. And I do apologize for what I'm going to be forced to do to you because you're Orange's friend. That was excellent. I think that Moxley and Yuta versus Hook and OC match is going to be a lot of fun next Wednesday. And Moxley versus Orange Cassidy too. Yeah, sign me up for that. The first one was amazing. I'm really excited for the second one. And I love that I'm going into it not knowing if Mox is going to get the title back or if Orange is going to retain. It doesn't feel like there's something that's got to happen. You know, it's excellent.
Chi-Town Spurs says, last time I was in Portland, I saw the Bollywood boys in a Defy win in a match using Nan bread with a cricket bat. We'll be a fan for life. They're very nice. Good. I like them. Just nice guys as well. Bizarro Big L says, two things are bugging me. Why is Adam telling MJF to accept Joe's offer? Does Joe have a previous relationship with Adam? and those skinny dudes look a lot like Nutshot Kingdom and Kyle O'Reilly, starting to feed into the Adam Britt is the devil theories. We will talk about the devil at great length later. That is effectively the main event of this show. But, I mean, Adam Cole wants his tag title preserved on the surface. That's why.
The best guy that I mean, before Samoa Joe's like, I'm relinquishing this title and all I want to do now is murder you, MJF. The best guy available to take Adam Cole's spot to keep the ROH titles would be Samoa Joe in a match versus the Guns. Like that's a great opportunity. That's why Adam wants to keep the titles. So that's why.
Mike the Jeweler, man, this guy's so generous to us. He says, Keith Lee, give me all the meat, but Joe should have lost it in a 3-4-way match. I agree. He said, where's my boy Santana? Feature him more. He is on Rampage, which is a very good show, but yes, Ortiz and Santana should have been featured on Collision or Dynamite for their big match.
That was a really great match. Santana winning it and then moving on to nothing while Ortiz lost it and is now moving on to some intrigue between the Jeff Jarrett faction and Eddie Kingston. Like, I was really excited to see who Santana went after next, but like, it's been a while now and they haven't mentioned him, so...
And things didn't get physical between Santana and Ortiz, but I think they are leading by example for the locker room. We do not like each other. We had a serious falling out, but we said, you know what? This is the thing that people are most interested in regarding us, so we're going to do it. I got a lot of respect for those two guys for doing that. He also says, when Adam Cole comes on my TV, is that live feed or pre-recorded? It is live. It's live. But he's live. But the segment is pre-recorded.
Right.
Like, that's the way they filmed that earlier. But Adam Cole is on there. It's not, like, wisely, like, cleverly timed like they used to do on Raw quite a bit.
Right.
Orange Mox, match made in heaven. Yeah, I agree. They've got a good feud going on there as well. Julia Hart defeated Red Velvet. Good to see Red Velvet back. She has missed, 9 months. Like, I remember Grapsody had an interview with her right around the time she was hurt. Brent says, in interviews, both Julia and Velvet seem to have the attitude of do the match, apologize after, and it showed. This was awesome. It was very good, and Julia is so over.
So over.
Listen, it ain't Chris's fault that they haven't really followed up with her as TBS champion.
No.
But you go with the hot hand, I think.
Yeah.
And Julia Hart's the hot hand, and they teased it after this match.
Right.
This, I'm all for a Julia Hart TBS title run.
They're doing some really cool, low key storytelling here. Some like the when Sky Blue came out to stop Julia from putting her submission move on Red Velvet after the match, Sky Blue standing there. And Julia's like standing right next to her, but peering into her eyes from different angles to see what's going on in there. What did I damage? Because you hit me with the miss last week, but you're not the same person that I missed it. So what's going on? What's making you tick? And that was really cool. Like Sky Blue doing the miss thing, I don't think is like the end. Like, oh, now I'm back to being myself again. Nope. And Willow coming out, Stat coming out, that feels to me like a legitimate Fatal 4-Way. And in a Fatal 4-Way, Julia Hart could do something, pin Sky Blue or whatever, and Stat doesn't need to take the pin. That's a great opportunity for the TBS title to go on Julia Hart, who you are correct, is incredibly over and has one of the most atmospheric entrances, including that song, that I've ever seen. It's great.
She is 22.
It's nuts.
She was born after WCW. My God.
That moonsault is gorgeous. I mean, I love it.
And we've got Brent saying, does it feel like Sky is the monster Julia created but can't control? Because that would be fun. Sort of, but... I'd like Sky Blue to be a little too big for her britches in that situation, and Julia kind of keeps her in check type of thing.
Sure. There's some stuff.
Also, happy birthday, Julia. It is her 22nd birthday today.
Wow.
There you go.
That's nuts. I'm sorry. She's just, she also, the thing about it that I love so much coming from the world of acting is that, like, she plays that character.
Yes, she
does. Perfectly. There is not a note wrong in that performance. I'm so in on whatever she does. It's fantastic.
Meet Normus says, can't wait for Deeb and Rosa to rejoin the women's division and flesh out the TBS and world title scene. Wouldn't mind a women's world tag belt rotated. Yeah, I would love a women's world tag belt. I think World's End or, like, listen, do it on Final Battle. Do a winner take all six man tag title thing. Like, and it becomes one belt type of thing. I just think that
World's End is a cool name for a pay-per-view where, like, some titles come to an end. That's kind of a cool idea.
And I wouldn't mind that out of, like, even other belts too. But I think that considering that AEW does have its own, like, little world with ROH, it's okay to do world titles like that. Deeb and Rosa being back, God, that would be such a shot in the arm.
There's either Collision or Dynamite that's in San Antonio in December. Feels like Rosa's got to be back by then. Got to be on TV by the one in San Antonio, right? And I don't know what you set up there. Maybe for her to get a title shot at World's End, that'd be interesting.
Main event. I am so glad to see Mark Briscoe back. His enthusiasm, his presence.
Yep.
I will say this again. I want one day for, like, somebody to visit the Briscoe farm, and it's revealed that he is, like, secretly a genius. Like, he's out there doing chemistry, and he's got, like, the goggles and everything.
Yeah.
I would really love that, but man, this guy was missed, and I know that they were expecting him to be gone for much longer. They were very happy they got him back much sooner. Because, I mean, there was a real possibility that he was out for the rest of the year. Because when we heard severe knee injury at the beginning of July, I think, and he's back at the start of November, man, sign me up. This was a great 15-minute main event. Mark Briscoe, and the full gear shot was at stake. This was effectively to get some heat on Jay White, because who doesn't love Mark Briscoe?
Right.
To set up the end segment that we'll talk about, but the match itself, I was really, really happy with. What'd you think?
I love it. And you're right. I would be absolutely down for a secret genius Mark Briscoe thing on Saturday on Collision, where he was trying to. He had to find two tag partners to team against Kip Sabian and the Workhorseman. And Lexi Nair was like, so are you going to tell us who your tag partner is going to be? Sorry, Lexi, I cannot divulge that information at this time. And I was like, yes, just give him, like, a bunch of $5 words to say in every promo. Like, as many as possible. It's so great. I love it. The match
also
was a lot of fun.
Yes, please check this out, guys. Justin Barrasso does great work. And, a good profile on Mark. Sorry, please go ahead.
Yeah, I think that everyone knew that Jay White was going to win, but the match was a lot of fun, and you had to do this match here so you could have the final angle of the night. Even though, to me, the final angle of the night had to be here, which is why you do this last. But also on the show, you had two very big title matches. So I'm glad that they made this match great, even though this match was a foregone conclusion, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. It was a foregone conclusion, but, I also love this super chat from Jordan saying, is it too soon to have a Christian Cage Mark Briscoe program? I'd strap the TNT belt to Mark, oozes charisma, and the fans always respond, dem boys. That would come down 100%. To the comfortability of Mark Briscoe and then Jay Briscoe's wife, because that probably would be something that a lot of people would be looking that they would broach or they would tease. But that being said, Mark Briscoe being the one to win that title from Christian Cage would be a monster pop and someone that you could emotionally get in for. Juice shouting at Jay, do it for Gato. in the last parts of the match. So after this, MJF shows up. And I like that they're like, he's got the Dynamite diamond ring on, because punch, punch, punch. Mm-hmm, all three done. Of the dorks are knocked out. And Jay White is confronted with that. And MJF is like, he's such a corny ass white meat baby face. Mm-hmm. And it works. MJF takes a lot of things that should not work in 2023.
Yep.
A lot of wrestling tropes, and he makes them work. And he goes, for the first time, I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it for everybody that's been with me. All of you at home. Everybody here. Adam Cole. And then we're going to Idaho. And then we're going to Nebraska. And then we're going to take the White House. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's him. Yes.
For a reference, I'm almost as old as him.
Yeah. I'm not just a scumbag. I'm their scumbag. That's great. This is fun. It is still weird to me that he's not going to bring the title into the title match. It's fine. But the most important thing is that you still had, Jay White and all of his buddies up on the stage, and you still had MJF in the ring when we go to the back and see what's happening back there. So some top suspects, not part of what we're about to see.
So MJF also says he is the real world's champion. To me, these are more blatant references than anything. Not anything WWE has done, not some of the Corey Graves stuff. But then we go to the back. The devil attacks the acclaimed.
No, the devil wasn't there.
Oh, sorry. The devil didn't attack the acclaimed. The devil's minions attacked the acclaimed.
Right.
The devil watched along, but they threw Anthony Bowens through glass. Holy shit, is that a fucking CM Punk reference? Mm-hmm. Listen,
yeah.
I will go on record. First off, it... Say it was CM Punk. I want to say this. It would be a giant work on the roster, executives, VPs, because people in the company, even though it's closely guarded, they do know who the people behind the masks are. Mm-hmm. I ain't found out, but they say they know. However, if CM Punk, some reason, like, came back, I would get blamed for reporting that he got fired, even though Tony Khan put it out there.
Yeah.
Like, Matthew England says you
would get blamed for reporting you got fired when he got fired in a giant press release.
Yes. Matthew England says the devil is Jack Perry. Johnny Hirschman says World's End is neither a big name tournament to face MJF or an Elimination Chamber match with everyone teased, plus the devil in the mask until the end. Amir says, any update on Kyle O'Reilly? Any chance he could be the MJF devil? Internally, the response was no time soon on Kyle. However, workers work.
Yeah.
Harold says, the man who erased his name, the CM Punk documentary. James Zimmerman says, well, hot damn, that's a show, boys. That was Wardlow, right? That big guy in the beatdown was Wardlow, right? That's the first one that I look at and I go, I think that was somebody. That's the first one that I look at and I think that's somebody.
Right. The reason that we think it is because we know Wardlow has it out for MJF. But he's not the devil, at least not the devil we've seen before, unless they're doing a thing, which is interesting, which is you put different people in the devil mask, and it's never the same guy twice, which I honestly would be a cool way to throw off the scent. Wardlow being part of this surely makes sense. But I want the devil to be somebody that I would not think of, but that when I find it out, I go, oh my God, of course. That's, I don't know how that works, how that can actually be a thing in this day and age, but I need that to be it, because I'm very excited for this thing. There's a lot of intrigue here. One of the things that I loved the idea was that Jay White, like, being attacked barely backstage the first time, like thrown into a road box. Who hasn't been thrown into a road box, honestly? That was all faked. And he's part of the whole thing. And that was somebody else under the mask, but he's leading the whole thing. Or it's Roddy, who wants to prove to Adam Cole that he really is a bad dude. He's blaming. If MJF is being framed, the thing is, by whom? If MJF is actually framing himself, there's a lot of there's a very good possibility we're going to get Vince McMahon, it was me all along, Austin, out of this. You know what I mean? There's a very good possibility that's there. But I love that there's so many options.
Brent Lotwin says, Bowen's getting barbershop windowed in 2023. Wasn't on the bingo card. That was a great spot. It looked fantastic. Alan Kahn says, could the devil be MJF himself, but his old heel self? We've never seen both the devil and MJF in the same place, only on video. Well, that's what's got the wheels a-moving, you know?
Yeah.
That's what's got the wheels a-moving. He's devious enough. He's conniving enough. He used the acclaimed.
Yeah.
And then ditched them. However, with Wardlow, I mean, you know, maybe he and Wardlow are just fooling everybody.
Sure.
We haven't seen Wardlow violently attack him yet, have we?
All we saw him was Pim put him up against a wall. He could have ended his life right there, but he didn't. He didn't. He knew he was in front of a camera. This could all be a ruse.
Jordan says, if the devil turns out to be Punk, is that bigger than the NWO starting on live WCW TV? No. The NWO is
no.
Probably one of the biggest storylines in the history of wrestling.
Yeah.
Johnny Hirschman says, teases the devil you know versus the devil you don't. I mean, sincerely, the devil making you forget that he exists line.
Yeah.
Like, I think they'll lean into references like that as well. Like, we might even see the devil do one of these or something like that.
Maybe, yeah.
Bizarro Big L. By the way, guys, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. We are heading down the home stretch right now. Irene says, I have no interest in the devil being Jack Perry. If it's not Cole, I kind of hope it's Will Ospreay. He's basically a top heel on AEW TV. Well, it doesn't seem like we're headed towards a resolution anytime soon. Like,
No.
If anything, we might see a mask pulled off of somebody in a fray, and then maybe they're like interrogated or something. I love a good whodunit. I love a who is it underneath there? It's so easy to do in wrestling too. And this is already much better than Retribution.
Yeah, it is.
Listen, hold on. If this were Retribution, they would have also picked up Max Caster and thrown him through the window.
Yes, that's what they would have done.
Jesus Christ. And Broadway says, was that effing Retribution? Seriously, attacking a claim confirms to me the devil is MJF, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled.
I mean, it's possible, but also it's possible that it's not. That's the great thing, is it doesn't feel like, obviously. And the thing that would be interesting with me is there's a possibility also out there for a false unmasking. Like, if it winds up being like, at one point, we have like four or five dudes out there all standing around and they're all wearing the devil mask. But which one is the real devil? You know what I mean? You could unmask one of those guys and that guy's not the actual devil. He's just a guy working for the devil. There's a lot of stuff.
Could it be the reunion of the Pinnacle? Yeah, it could be. It absolutely could be. But I mean, we're talking about five people and the devil, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Beefy Vegan says, I missed a great show tonight. Had to sell my tickets. That ending angle was fire emoji. Definitely think the masked guys are Kingdom plus a surprise. Who would the surprise be with the Kingdom? Well, I mean, it's five people plus the devil. Right?
Right. It's either four people. It's four plus the devil.
Okay.
Or is it five plus the devil? I don't know. But like,
I need to look. Need to look back.
Yeah. I'm not sure, but it was four plus the devil the first time. I can't remember if it was only four guys beating up the acclaimed now, but whatever.
It was only four tonight. There we go. Thank you guys to people.
So it's four plus the devil.
Thank you, Ben, for doing our job for us, Ben and Brent.
it's five is the optimum number for a faction. It's perfect. Whatever this is, I hope it leads to something very long term and very cool. But I love the idea of us finding out little drips and drabs along the way. Like them being caught in the act of beating somebody up at some point, and three of the dudes in the ski masks get away, but one of them doesn't, and we unmask it, and it's one of the guys, and that guy is getting sweated by everybody. Who is it? Who's the devil? And like, I'm not saying nothing. Like, that could be a lot of fun, you know?
I want the... Somebody asked what percentage I would give it to be Punk. 10. I want it to make sense, whoever it is. I want it to make sense why they attacked Bullet Club Gold and the Acclaimed. And Jonathan Hedman says, Mustafa Ali, Retribution 2.0. Eloquent says, what if it's legit Ali? I love Ali. I think Ali is a main event level talent. I think a lot of like what we're seeing out of Swerve right now is something that we'd see out of Mustafa Ali if he was in AEW company, wherever he lands.
if he was a heel, there's also the opportunity for them to turn him into an amazing fan favorite babyface, which they never really fully pushed in WWE either. So there's a lot of cool stuff there.
If CM Punk is the devil, who are the others? Well, Dax and Cash are two of them. It was Punk.
Dax
and Cash are two of them. And then they cloned Dax and Cash and just, there you go.
Yeah.
That's who it is.
Yeah.
I'm leaning into the Wardlow. The body looked very.
Yeah, very Wardlow-esque. Yeah.
The twist is the cronies are Roddy, Kingdom, and Wardlow, but they're working for MJF, Adam Cole's ultimate betrayal. All of his friends against him. Ooh.
I wouldn't hate it.
Ooh, all right. I mean, they already kind of have been working against Adam Cole.
Well, that's true.
They were delaying him from having surgery.
That is true. That is true.
Devil is Tully Blanchard and the goons are the pinnacle. It ain't happening.
Tully Blanchard.
And Bizarro says, if tonight was a meal, it'd be every meat burrito. My God. The devil story is more and more compelling as it gets my theory brain going. Daniel Garcia and MJF as a tag team would kill. It's a 15-minute match, but they made every minute count. Hashtag, he's a wrestler. I'm excited to see the follow-up with Daniel Garcia. And you know what? I'm excited that we were sitting here talking about AEW for about 80 minutes tonight. This is the longest post-show in a long time.
In a while, yeah.
We used to have Robert DeFelice on the show, and it wasn't for performance that he wasn't on the air. It's because our shows were going 2 hours. And we were like, we need to keep these under 90 minutes. And then over the last like 6-7 months, they have been going under or around an hour. Mm-hmm. We had about 80 minutes worth of stuff to talk about today.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much. Please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. A significant portion of the wrestling news that you get on Facebook, on Twitter, from other websites comes from Fightful Select. Supporting original reporting is important. And also you can ask us questions on those stories. You can interact with Alex directly on Sour Graps. You can ask me questions in the Q&A, all that good stuff. Alex, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me on the Twitter X at Alex Sour Graps. We'll be doing the Sour Grap show on Fightful Select forever. But we got some big pay-per-views this month with Full Gear. And the following week is Survivor Series. War Games. So like there's a lot of really great stuff this month. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. This is one of those deals where they used to do this for shilling for the WWE network. They'd be like, if you subscribe this month, you get two pay-per-views.
Yes.
Well, you get two extra episodes of Sour Graps this month if you subscribe. So
not only that, Rob Wilkins has really great pay-per-view pre-shows over on Select as well.
Yes. Like
you get 40 plus shows a month on Fightful Select. Plus, like we got hundreds of shows in our archives that are not, they're evergreen, like retro reviews and like all kinds of segments and stuff. Check that out, guys. Thank you all so much. Until next time, we're out.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.